Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Welcome back to Dan Issel and Louis Ribeau on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
Welcome back for the second hour of this Friday show. We really do appreciate you spending part of your morning with us, even though because of that, you get free bratwurst and Louis and I get squat.
Oh, must be nice.
But thanks. Anyway, thanks for tuning
in. Thanks for being here.
This hour of the show brought to you by Delta Dental of Kentucky. Delta Dental's plans are designed to meet your unique needs and budget with a wide range of coverage options to choose from. Whether you're looking for basic coverage or comprehensive protection, Delta Dental of Kentucky has you covered. As a not-for-profit organization, Delta Dental of Kentucky invests in their community to help improve access to dental care for everyone and believes all Kentuckians deserve a happy, healthy smile. So why wait? Sign up for Delta Dental of Kentucky today and start enjoying the benefits of a healthy smile. You can visit them at deltadentalky.com or you can always call 800-955-2030 to learn more.
If you're one of the seven people that doesn't follow us on Twitter, find us at ESPN680 on the Bet River Sportsbook Twitter feed there. You can find me at Radio Louie online. You can find Avery Dill at AveryDill1105 and Dan Issel online under whatever he uses, but he will not respond to you. This is Issel and Louie. We'll take you up until Fast Break Friday with Bobby V in about an hour. First replay. We'll have the mixtape around 5:30 today. James Black producing that effort, so at least you know it will be professionally done, unlike this show. Some other programming that's going on.
Thumbs, that's not right.
Did she even notice?
I did notice, and if you're going to do that when we have tech issues, you're going to find a new producer. Because I'm not going to do that, Louie. I'm not. And I'm
inside
not
Ellis
joking.
Park tonight. Okay, inside Ellis Park, 6 to 7 tonight. On 680, 105.7, and on the app, Reds over here on 680, 105.7 at 7:45, first pitch at 8 o'clock. We will get to Belmont Park at about 11:30, talk some of those races through there. Is Bronny James going to be worth the trouble at USC, Dan?
You know, there were a couple of articles this morning that the guys must have been on short deadlines or something. Because they tried to compare Southern Cal getting ready for Bronny's games to a Los Angeles Laker playoff game. Earth to the right, the writer, Leo DiCaprio will not be showing up at Southern Cal basketball games. I get where you're trying to go with this,
right.
But the excitement about Bronny James is who he is, not what he is. So let's, there will obviously be more people at Southern Cal games because Bronny is playing there. But
sure.
Let's see if the young man can play before we start comparing it to a Laker playoff game, please.
Myron Metcalf doing the work. L.A. playoff game. Jack Nicholson's courtside screaming at Bronny.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But Big Bunny and Kim Kardashian and who else?
Keep going. I'm enjoying this.
Oh, no. They acted like Kim Kardashian and Big Bunny and Leo DiCaprio are all going to go to Southern Cal games because Bronny plays there.
Did you say Big Bunny?
Isn't that his name?
Avery, come on, that's funny.
What's his name?
It's Bad Bunny.
Bad Bunny?
Yeah, and it's Kendall Jenner, not Kim Kardashian. It's all right. Okay, all right, be okay.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. I got close.
Big.
You know, when I think of bunnies, bad is the first adjective that comes to mind. Bad Bunny.
Do you know any of Bad Bunny's music?
No.
You sure?
But I understand, having read this article, I understand he's very, very popular. He broke the record for downloads or something, didn't he?
He's very popular, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you know where he's from, Dan?
How about Big Bad Bunny? I like that better. Big Bad Bunny.
Take that back to Puerto Rico with him. There you go. I at some point, players like this, you know, and the one that I thought of locally that at least was in the, you know, as part of the conversation here, was when Amani Bates was leaving Memphis, essentially. Was he worth it at U of L last year? And the answer is yes. By the way, they could have used him. You know, how many people immediately went to, well, his dad is a pain in the butt, so we don't want him here.
Mm-hmm.
Careful what you wish for April 28th. You know, just careful.
I also saw that there's a mock draft out there that has Bates going like at the end of the first round.
He was the number one player in his class. I mean, it's not like people haven't seen something with him for a really long time, and we're seeing more of his body type as the dominant player in the league, right? That 6'9", 6'10", lanky, you know, wingspan guy. Mm-hmm. There's just more and more and more of that, you know. He's got a bit of a Tayshaun look to him, doesn't he?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's a good analogy.
Yeah.
I don't think
he'll ever be the defender that Tayshaun was. I mean, gosh. But very few guys can beat Tayshaun Prince. I mean, that guy was, on the defensive end at least, a pretty remarkable player. But honestly, Tayshaun was drafted in the 20s.
Yeah.
Why can't Amani Bates be drafted in the 20s? I think that's totally reasonable.
But getting back to Bronny, can you imagine the pressure on this kid? I mean, they're already talking that he's going to be a lottery pick next year, and, you know, they've got heightened security for the Southern Cal basketball games. I'm kind of anxious to see if he's really that good. I mean, it's kind of like Secretariat. Secretariat sired some really nice runners.
Uh-huh.
He never sired anything as good as he was.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And so, you know, no matter how good this kid is, he's never going to be his dad. So I kind of feel sorry for him, for the pressure he's under.
Yeah. I mean, it would be like, you know, being Wayne Gretzky's kid or something, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No chance of doing anything like that. So, I mean, it's even pretty remarkable that his daughter's married to a pro golfer. I mean, like, that there's even that, you know, in their family. But his son, Ty Gretzky, is a bit younger than me, but I think he actually made it in, like, minor league baseball.
I can see that. You
like
know,
the athletic gene is strong
choosing
enough.
Another, there was an article this morning that I read in The Athletic about Harp Springs. He played in the NBA for about 10 years.
Okay.
And his son is a hot prospect out there as a tight end. Mm. Has an offer from Georgia Tech and a couple of other schools. But anyway, I can see that doing a different sport. I think that's, you know, but to do the same sport as your father, especially when you're talking about GOATs like LeBron and Gretzky, that's got to be very difficult.
So we like to play the game. What is the get-in price for tickets? What do you think the highest get-in price will be for a USC basketball game this year?
The highest?
Yes.
Oh, I would imagine those courtside seats.
No, get-in price.
Oh, the highest. $106.
I'm going with 31.
Yeah. Yeah.
31.
Big Bad Bunny ain't going to a game you can get into for $31.
Big Bad Bunny. Oh, man. A little Puerto Rican-style rap for you there, Dan. How about that?
Is that what he does?
Yeah. Yeah. That's Bad Bunny. Yeah.
No wonder I've never heard of him.
There you go. No, it's not a... You are not the target market, Dan.
I'm not a rap guy. No.
I don't. Have you hung out with rappers before? You have to have.
No.
Really?
No.
You've been around the NBA since the 70s. Really? Nothing around a rapper?
No.
You've never been in the same room as like a Snoop Dogg? Come on. I'm a little surprised by this, actually.
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay. Jay-Z, nothing?
No. I got nothing for you.
Huh.
Not even Gene Harlow. By the way, Gene was mentioned in this article.
Gene was mentioned in this
article. Yeah. Gene was at the game. By the way, how'd that White Men Can't Jump movie number two go? I saw it being hyped like every 15 seconds on ESPN, and then it kind of all went away.
I'm looking right now. So I went to IMDb. Do you know what IMDb is, Dan?
I do not.
Okay, it is the Internet Movie Database, IMDb, quite literally. And they do ratings, and they allow critics to rate, and they allow listeners to rate. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you an over-under of a star rating out of 10. And you tell me if the rating is over or under the following number.
Okay.
4.6.
Under.
It is 4.9 out of 10, just over. 5 is terrible, by the way, on IMDb. People tend to be very, very kind. And so this got terrible, terrible reviews. And there you go. That's all you need to know, is it got horrifically bad reviews.
Well, yeah, and you know, in fairness to Gene, most sequels that are of really good movies. I mean, Woody Harrelson's White Men Can't Jump was excellent.
It's near perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, and so when you do a sequel, and you don't use the same actors and actresses. Those movies very, very rarely succeed.
I would agree with you. Yeah.
Not, you know, if you use a sequel, like, you know, they dug up what's Jones in the.
Indiana Jones?
Yeah, Indiana Jones. I mean, who's the actor?
Harrison Ford.
Yeah, Harrison Ford. They for the latest sequel in that line of movies, they dug him up at 80 years old because they knew he being in the movie at 80 was better than having somebody else come in and try to play Indiana Jones.
Do you know he's been married to Calista Flockhart since 2010?
Do you know we were
Avery? Did you know that?
Yeah. We were in a restaurant one time.
I think
it was New York City. Sherry and I were in a restaurant, and we sat next to them. They were at the next table over. And, you know, of course, that was a long, long time ago. They might have been just recently married. But she's, yeah, I can understand why Harrison went that direction.
Texter, I'm surprised Dan didn't get Bad Bunny's name right because he's not just a rapper. He also occasionally does professional wrestling. That's a good text.
Oh!
That's a good text.
Oh, I can't believe I didn't see that. I'm a big.
Did you watch Ally McBeal when it was on? I feel like that's a show Avery would like, just given the time period.
That was her, right?
It was her, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Calista Flockhart was in that, Greg German. I'm trying to think. What was her name? Courtney Smith, I think, was in that. That was supposed to be the edgy show because the bathroom was co-ed in the 90s.
Mm.
Ooh. So everybody used the same bathroom.
Ooh.
And here's the thing. Things about women that I just don't want to know. Yeah, just don't want to know. Don't need that in my life. I'm good.
So getting to hockey.
Yes, sir.
Because I think we've reached the end of the big bad bunny narrative. I have two questions. Okay. As I said earlier, I switched over to the hockey game last night, and there was about 5 minutes to go. Okay, and Florida is down 2-1, and it looks like they're about to go down 0-3 in the Stanley Cup Finals. And my first question is, with about around 2 minutes to go, they pull their goalie, Florida right. pulls their goalie, puts an extra attacker on the ice.
Yep.
Now, usually, and I don't watch a whole lot of hockey, but usually when I see that happen, some guy slaps it in from 100 feet away and the game is over.
Oh, okay.
But last night, Tkachuk scored with the extra attacker. So what happens more often? Does the team that pulls their goalie, do they score? Or does the other team get an empty netter? Which happens more?
I would guess overwhelmingly nothing happens.
Oh, okay.
So over half the time, nothing happens.
I got you. Okay.
I would guess 30% of the time, the defensive team scores, and then 10 to 15% of the time, the offensive team scores.
Okay. All right. So that answers that question.
Now, the thought process there is, if you're down one with a minute to go or you're down two with a minute to go, who cares? Go try to get the equalizer, essentially.
Right. Now, the other question I have, of course, that goal tied it up, and they go to overtime. And about 5 minutes into the overtime, Florida scores again on a slap shot from way out front and wins the game. And now you've got a series.
Sure.
That is the seventh time, Louie, in this playoff season that they have won in overtime. They are 7-0 in overtime games. Now, my question is there some skill involved that a team would be undefeated in overtime games, or is it just the lucky bounce of the puck?
When you have the best goalie in the playoffs, you win a lot of OT games.
Okay.
And Bobrovsky's been the best goalie in the playoffs.
Okay. All right.
Now, this series, less. I mean, Vegas has really found a way to score on this team. But they got back home last night, and they got back to doing what it is that got the Panthers this deep in the playoffs. But the thing that hockey people don't want to admit is that if you have a good guy between the pipes, you got a really serious shot. So, you know, 2006, I watched Michigan State, you know, march through the NCAA tournament, win the national title in St. Louis. And it was because a little guy named Jeff Lurg was playing goalie. If he wasn't the goalie, they wouldn't have won maybe a game. The tournament didn't matter.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. But I think the Panthers with Bobrovsky have a guy who stands on his head really often. Doesn't give up the bad goal either, right? So he's not putting you in a bad spot. Aiden Hill on the other end for Vegas gave up a goal in game one on a wraparound where, Dan, he was 4 or 5 feet out of the net on the other side of the net.
Hmm.
And you just can't have that in the Stanley Cup.
Right.
It's just not acceptable.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I was really glad I switched over because the 10 minutes of ice time that I saw was really interesting hockey.
Well, there you go. Texter asking if I still play hockey. No, I had enough concussions that it has been suggested to me that I no longer play hockey. So there you go. By enough, I mean 5 too many? 6-ish?
Well, I would think any would be too many.
Yeah. Well, it used to be. I remember getting one in high school and being really mad because they held me out for two shifts.
Two shifts?
Yeah. It's like, why do I have to sit for
not
for
two minutes? Periods, not two games, no. Two shifts.
Correct. Yeah. We're right back in there. I can see. Say stuff like that. You know. They're like, oh, okay, yeah. You can see. All right, have you been surprised at all of the fallout from the PGA-LIV merger, just how people have reacted?
That's another article that I read, and when I was done reading it, I didn't know what they were talking about.
Do you think Jimmy Dunn, who set up this deal, is Livy Dunn's dad?
No.
Okay.
No. He wouldn't have to be flying to Italy to meet the guy from Saudi Arabia if that was his daughter. So. No, but it...
what does that mean?
I don't know.
Okay. Oh, I could not. I'm glad I didn't know what that meant, and it meant nothing. Okay, good.
I don't know. but it looks like they put that Moynihan is going to be in charge. that Greg Norman will now have nothing to do with it. And by the way, the fund now, you know, we talked about it the other day, the Saudi Public Investment Fund was $620 million.
Billion.
In this article, it's up to $720 billion. $720 billion. And they said they invested $1 billion in the LIB tour. And you think, wow, $1 billion? Yeah. That's like when you have $720 billion in your fund, that's like, you know, taking some change out of the couch. But this made it sound like the Saudis are just interested in being an investor with the PGA. And, you know, Greg Norman was telling everybody yesterday, the LIV isn't going anywhere. You know, I don't know how airtight those contracts are. And, you know, are these guys still going to get all the money they were promised? Or did they just write them a check for $200 million right off the bat? I don't know. But this article made it sound, and you know, you got to consider the source. You always have to consider the source. This was an ESPN, or was it ESPN? Yeah.
This is Sports Illustrated.
Sports Illustrated. Sports Illustrated. That's even worse. Sports Illustrated, you know, has been a critic of the LIV, a harsh critic from the very beginning. And so you have to consider the source. But if you read this article, basically what has changed is that the Saudis are now a partner on the PGA tournament, a tour. And that's about it. And Moynihan said, well, at the end of this year, we'll consider what we're going to do with the LIV. All of a sudden, Moynihan gets to decide? This article didn't make much sense to me.
I think they're making him feel that way right now, and the players are going to go, you need to get out of here. You need to be done. I don't. Do the LIV players like him? No.
No.
Do the PGA guys like him now after they all found out?
Not anymore.
No.
Not anymore.
I mean, literally no one in this scenario likes him, except for the LIV guys, because they got the owners of that group. You know, I mean, so, yeah. No, I am. It is, yeah. Louis, could you guys talk Trump's indictment the last half of the show? Yeah, I mean, we can. We're not going to, but we can. You have anything to say about Trump indictments, Dan?
No, I get in trouble. Sherry tells me all the time, don't go there. I get in trouble when I do that.
Got it.
All I would say is that...
I won't say anything, but all I'll say is this.
If we're using the FBI... and the Department of Justice for political reasons. I don't care if it's Republicans, Democrats, Independents. I don't care. If there is a bias in the, and I'll add another one, the Internal Revenue, the Department of Justice, or the FBI, this country is in a lot of trouble. This country is like a third world country if that's what's going to happen.
Little Banana Republic on a Friday?
Yeah, there you go.
Do you shop at Banana Republic, Dan?
Huh?
Do you shop at Banana Republic?
No.
No, okay. You strike me as a DXL guy, and that's about all you do.
That's it.
What do you think you'll wear to the Indiana Derby?
You can't go wrong with the fashions at XL. I mean, it's like the turning back the clock. What was really popular 5 years ago, they got it hanging at the DXL store.
In your size. How about that?
Absolutely.
There it is.
And every fat guy in the city has a shirt like yours.
Whoa. I felt deeply personal for no reason. Sheesh. I just called you tall. You're fat. Thanks,
yeah.
Dan. I appreciate you.
No, I thought you were talking about you. You're not tall enough or fat enough to shop at DXL.
Well, that's both true, but whoa. I don't have any of your shirts. I don't get stuff from Bill Self. Ridiculous. I mean, yet. Oh, man. All right. Second hour of the show brought to you by Delta Dental, and Dan's going to tell you a bunch about Delta Dental.
Oh, yeah. I'm always happy to. Are you looking for an insurance company that you can trust? Look no further than Delta Dental of Kentucky. Delta Dental is a local, not-for-profit insurance company that's been serving the people of Kentucky for over 50 years. Delta Dental of Kentucky provides dental and vision insurance to both individuals and businesses across the Commonwealth. They are committed to helping you and your family achieve optimal oral health. So why wait? Sign up for Delta Dental of Kentucky today and start enjoying the benefits of a healthy smile. You can visit them at deltadentalky.com or you can call them at 800-955-2030 to learn more.
You're listening to Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
All right, welcome back in. Final segment here on a Friday. Taking you into your weekend here on ESPN 680, 105.7. A little remix there. I like that coming back here on Issel and Louis. We'll take you up until noon. Fast Break Friday with Bobby V after us. And, of course, First Replay's got you after that. They'll have their mixtape around 5:30, hang out with them. Make sure that you hang out with us every single day, 7 to 6. Going local programming on weekdays while Dan hacks up a lung. In the background, a reminder of some other programming going on here. We will have the Reds and the Cardinals tonight, and we will have Heat and Nuggets tonight at 7:30 on 93.9. Inside Churchill Downs about Ellis Park will be tonight. They'll preview tomorrow's races. A bunch of interesting ones going on at Churchill. But, of course, our eyes, Dan, have moved east to Elmont, which is a small enclave that touches Queens but is just onto Long Island in New York. They run a race called Belmont, not the Elmont Stakes. I don't know the history there, Dan, but whatever. It's New York, so it probably doesn't have to make sense.
Wasn't Belmont a pretty prominent racing family years and years and years ago?
Almost certainly. So yeah. In New York, they name things after people. It's what they do. Mm-hmm. The Acorn today, though, Dan, do you have a strong feeling on the Acorn?
I like Money's Gold. I think, Pretty Mischievous, who won the Oaks, is in here. Dropping back a 16th of a mile doesn't bother me, but going one turn does. So I'm going with the favorite, Money's Gold.
There you go. So that's the 5 today in race 9 for Dan. Did you look at any of the other races on today's card? Is there a big favorite for you anywhere?
In the third, or I don't have it in front of me, but in the third or fourth race.
Fourth race is the Just a Game.
Yeah, it's Italian.
Okay, in Italian, the one there, yep.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That in Italian, I'm sorry, yeah.
Oh, you're fine.
A definite winner.
Okay. We will keep hacking Dan coming down on the text line.
I don't have a cough button here.
We know. Met Mile loaded tomorrow. We were doing a count last night. There are 9 horses in it. I think 6 have won grade ones. So that'll be an interesting one. That's race 10 tomorrow. Where should we start here, Dan? I've got them all on the sheet here.
Start wherever you want, Louie. I'm ready.
How about that? We'll start with the Woody Stevens. We do have a scratch of the Woody Stevens.
Ooh.
For tomorrow. Bob Baffert will not be running Arabian Lion in that race tomorrow. And so General Jim coming in off of his win.
I'm sorry to hear that because he was a chuck.
Oh. get some other Triple Crown nominated horses in here. Dan, I went kind of all over the place, but I do think General Jim, the 4, who is the favorite, is the horse to beat tomorrow.
Right. Yeah. That's Shug McGahey. I bought a bottle of bourbon. I bought it online for Scott because Scott loves Secretariat, and so there was a bottle of bourbon online with a very colorful engraving of Secretariat on it. And for some reason, I don't know why they chose these two people, because they had nothing to do with Secretariat. Joel Rosario and Shug McGahey signed the bottle, and they shipped it to me yesterday, and I gave it to Scott, and Shug signs his autograph Claude McGahey. No, nobody knows who Claude
McGahey. By the way, I apologize. I misspoke. It's Fort Bragg that scratched, not...
Oh, good.
Not Arabian Lion. So it's Fort Bragg that scratched out here.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I you know, didn't... I'm trying to find that race. What number? Oh, it's the eighth race, right?
We are in race eight right now. Yep.
Yeah. General Jin won the Pat Day Mile.
Yep.
Beat Fort Bragg by a neck in that race. There was somebody in here that I thought. Fort Bragg is out.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Then that helps even more, I think.
Okay.
the only other horse that I would look at in here is Brad's horse, Victory Formation.
Okay. That's the 11 horse tomorrow.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, they tried to make a Derby horse out of this horse, going a mile and an eighth in the Risen Star and a mile and an eighth in that race at Oaklawn that Red Route 1 won. But I think he's a whole lot better cutting back to this distance. So Woody Stevens is seven furlongs. So I think he could be a player. But yeah, the favorite is definitely the horse to play.
I like the 13 on the outside here, Drew's Gold for James Chapman with Gomez here. The two of them are one for seven at Belmont. Guess what the one was? It was Drew's Gold winning a listed stakes, the Gold Fever. In a minute nine flat, minute 9-1, going six furlongs at Belmont. That is an absolute winning time on Saturday if he can replicate that from the outside, from the 13. Improved on every single run that he's made, going from black type to listed last time out. Broke his maiden originally at Churchill Downs at the $84,000 level within state company, but under Ricardo Santana Jr., moved him to the East Coast after that. And has never done anything wrong. His closest margin of victory is 3 3/4 lengths since his the maiden. So if he breaks well on the outside, look for maybe Drew's Gold, the 13, to just get the ideal trip on the outside and make a splash. And a horse that I really like to hit the board here, Dan, at 12-1 is Gilmore, the 12. Hit the board five times in six runs, lifetime. One win is in a maiden at going a mile at Los Al, so two turns there. Gets back to seven furlongs here. Ran really well in the Bay Shore at Aqueduct at seven furlongs. They did try him in that Pat Day Mile. Just wasn't enough for the two horses ahead of him. But I do like them. Keep an eye rad here. And maybe the one that picks up the pieces at the end if it is too fast out front.
Yeah, going back to your 13, Drew's Gold. How about that horse? Undefeated in four starts. Has already made $222,000. A $25,000 yearling. $25,000.
Son of Island.
And he's won a quarter of a million and ain't done yet.
It's very, very attractive. Then we go to the Japer, which is race nine. Texter texting in. Belmont's named after August Belmont. He was a member of the Westchester Racing Association, which established Belmont Park. Thank you, Texter. The Japer is six furlongs on the on what we call the bougie turf course there, Dan, the Widener turf course. Oh, mm-hmm. Bougie. They like to talk about their grass and name it in New York. $400,000 here for a grade one, three and up. We've got some horses in here that people have heard of, including Caravelle is the 12 here, Dan, coming in on a four-game win streak. She doesn't mind running against the boys, and she's two for two this year.
And we'll definitely be the favorite. This was a horse that they had talked about taking to Royal Ascot, and yeah. I don't know why they changed their minds, but that's Brad Cox and Tyler Gaffleone, and they will be the favorite. I'm going to step out a little bit here, Louie. I'm going to go with the 10 horse, Big Invasion.
Nice.
Big Invasion is one for one at Belmont. Last time out, he was less than 3-1 in the turf sprint at Churchill and had a terrible trip, had to check off heels. But he... you know, this will be his third start in this form cycle, and if you throw out the race, and we've talked about this before, Kentucky Downs, horses either love it or they hate it, and it looks like he sure hated it. Other than that, this horse hadn't done anything wrong, and so I think you might get all of that 6-1 on the morning line. Big Invasion is my pick.
Yeah, interesting field here. This is the race 9 tomorrow, the Jaipur. You know, in the 5 here, Dr. Zempf is an interesting horse to me. Finished behind Shape here last time. Trying the Maker's Mark mile, gets to shorten up here. I'll be interested to see if the sprint distance doesn't help a lot more. I'm with you on the 10. I totally agree. I think that Caravelle's an obvious include, the 12 here. Costa Creed coming back from overseas is always, you know, Dan, when we have horses come back from the Arabian Peninsula, they either fire or they don't. That might be a reason to play against here, try to beat Costa Creed in this spot. And then I do think I mentioned the 5. I'm sorry. Let's try the 9. In Nothing Better with Manny Franco, Jose Duarte, 1-2 back in an optional claimer at Aqueduct. And then we were there for the turf sprint at Pimlico. And if he beats Beer Can Man, who he lost to, and I mean that race was a head bob at the end, frankly. If he wins that race, there's no way that he's 8-1 here. And I think that we'd be looking at a different horse as far as his odds that way. So if he runs that race back, 43-4 for the opening half there. If they run that back in this race, they finished in 55-2. If they can run that back here, he's got an absolute shot here.
Yeah.
I'm going to say you either use Caravelle here or you grab a bunch.
And that's Rich Santulli's horse, Colt Neck Stable.
Oh, okay.
Rich Santulli. So, yeah, good luck to Rich.
Met Mile then, the Metropolitan Handicap, if you will, grade 1, going a mile, of course, over the one turn there for $1 million. I think one of the most prestigious races in North America every single year. Cody's Wish is in here, Dan, the 1. Dr. Scheivel, by the way, the 3, grade 1 winner. Charge It in here is a... Is a grade 2 winner? Grade 2 place, excuse me.
Yep.
Zandon is a grade 1 winner. Repo Rocks is a grade 1 winner. Doppelganger is in here, a grade 1 winner. White Abario is in here, grade 1 winner. This is an interesting field, Dan.
I disagree. I think this is the biggest favorite and the most logical winner on the whole card. Cody's Wish has just been fantastic.
Can you name the winner of this race last year?
Let's see. Met Mile. No.
Little horse named Flightline.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is the race. He had the one hole and got left still won for fun. You're right. No, I think, and you're right. I mean, there are a lot of nice horses in here, but Bill Mott. I think Bill Mott is in 7, start counting today and tomorrow. Bill Mott is in 7 grade 1 races. He could have an absolutely fabulous weekend.
I agree with you about Cody's Wish, definitely on top. Repo Rocks, if you need a New York staple, that's going to pick off a race of this kind of caliber. He's 2-for-3 at the distance, has won 3 times at Belmont. If anyone picks off the champion Cody's Wish, I think it'll be Repo Rocks. And again, White Abario on the outside, lost the grade 1 Cigar Mile at a mile at Aqueduct by less than half a length, was in wet conditions. If he runs his race, I think he can be part of the equation. Interesting, I have in my notes, and I got our text from our guy Longshot today. He loves Doppelganger in this spot at 20-1. So that horse is coming out of a grade 1 win in the Carter. Mm-hmm. Beat Repo Rocks last time out, 3 straight wins, 20-1, an excellent value. So I'm 1, 7, 9, and 8. In the Met Mile, we go to the Manhattan next. It's race 11 tomorrow. It's for 4 and up. Going back to the grass here, and this will be a mile and a quarter over the inner turf course. And we see some horses in here, Dan, that we know their names, but we're actually seeing a bit of a changing of the guard at this sort of distance with a horse like Ottoman Fleet in the 4 and then up to the mark in the 8. Red Knight is in here in the 6 hole. It's 2-for-2 at this distance. They seem to run him more often. At a mile and a half, but I think a mile and a quarter going these 2 turns here is going to be plenty of time for him to make a move. Where did you land in this one, Dan?
I landed on the 3, Warren Point. The other Charlie Appleby horse, if you look at the Man of War in May, he was 60 cents on the dollar to win that, to win that race. And he actually got the lead. But, you know, like all European horses, or most European horses, the comment line is awkward break, bit slow. And DeTore rode him that day, and he got to the lead at the head of the stretch and then couldn't hold on. But I'm going with a 3, Warren Point.
Okay. I laid it on the four. The other Charlie Appleby, mm-hmm. the Charlie Appleby, I guess, won two in a row here. First at Newmarket and then at Belmont. Over a mile and an eighth on this actual turf course itself in the Fort Marcy last time out. On Derby Day, happened to be running at Belmont, was the favorite that day. Carrying 122, carries 122 again here. Olin does switch mounts here to go over to Warren Point. So if you wanted a jockey Q, maybe that's it. Or Charlie Appleby trusts Bill Buick more.
Yeah, no, I would say it's the exact opposite because William Buick is Appleby's guy. So I'm guessing, and I've said this before, jockeys and trainers are the worst handicappers in the world. But I'm guessing that signals that Charlie and William think that Ottoman Fleet has a better chance than Warren Point.
Red Knight is here. Two runs with IRAD this year, two wins, one run with Gerardo Corrales, a second. So if you need a win place bet here at 8-1, the six Red Knight is absolutely worth looking at. And I don't think IRAD is by accident on Up to the Mark, who won last time out at the Turf Classic here at Churchill Downs, which is, of course, on Derby Day, one of the great races that we have on that card. So that's where I would look. In that one, then we get to the Belmont. So let's play a game here, Dan.
Okay.
We're going to play Bell Yeah and Bell Nah.
Okay.
Okay. As a winner for the Belmont Stakes.
All right.
So, of course, this is a mile and a half going one full-time around the track at Belmont. 1.5 million dollars on the line here. It is a grade one. This is for three-year-olds, and so we see some of the names familiar from the Derby, and then of course some new shooters that are related to Tappet, which is a good idea. You didn't laugh, but that was a good joke.
No, you're 100% right. I mean, he's had like four winners of the Belmont Stakes in the last 6 years or something crazy like that.
That's exactly right. All right, so we start with number one, Tappet Shoe. Speaking of Tappet, Dan, winner here. Bell Nah or Bell Yeah?
Bell Nah.
Okay. Bell How about nah. to hit the board?
Possibly, but I think the only reason that Brad is running this horse here is because he is by Tappet and figures to like the mile and a half. But no, I don't like this horse.
Tappet tries. I will go Bell Nah with you. Bell Yeah or Bell Nah?
Bell
or Tappet
yeah.
tries the two.
Bell Yeah. Yeah, that's a big Bell Yeah.
Is he the favorite by the time they go off?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. I mean, 5-2. You know, he's just a big, long, striding horse that takes a long time to get going. And the big sweeping turns, Todd Pletcher has said he thinks Belmont will fit this horse perfectly. With only a 9-horse field, you know, you don't have to worry that much about getting out of the gate and traffic. I think that this horse will be the favorite by post time.
Three is Arcangelo. This would be the first ever woman to train a winner of the Belmont Stakes. Mm-hmm. Her name is Jenna Antonucci. She is Javier Castellano in the irons. He's going for his third straight win. He did win the Peter Pan, going a mile and an eighth. That is a one-turn mile and an eighth at Belmont. So he's going two turns for the very first. Oh, second time. Never mind. He did the mile at Gulfstream Park. Arcangelo, Bell Yeah or Bell Nah?
You know, you can't say Bell Yeah to all of them. But at a at a price, I mean, he beat Bishop's Bay. In the Peter Pan, I don't like that this is just his fifth start, fifth sure. lifetime start. It took him three starts to break his maiden, and then he won the Peter Pan. But you know, he finished up pretty well and beat a nice horse in Bishop's Bay. But I think there are a number of horses in here better than Bishop's Bay. So I'll go Nah.
I'm going to go Bell Yeah, only because of what we've talked about. So this is a Tappet mare, right? This is a Tappet dam. We got Arrogate on top. I do think that there's, if we're looking for a horse that's going to be, because of the breeding, able to win this race, give me an Arrogate and a Tappet combination there. So I'll go Bell Yeah on Arcangelo to at least hit the board, possibly be a 10 or 12 to 1 type a horse to win the race. National Treasure is the four here, Dan.
No, before we go, the one thing that really supports your argument is look at how those buyer figures have improved in the four starts.
Improve.
53 yep. to 70 to 84 to 97. That's without pretty nice improvement too. Over, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
There you go. National Treasure is the 4, Bob Baffert. Quality Road on top here, Medaglia d'Oro on the bottom, 1, the Preakness. National Treasure, Bell Yeah or Bell Nah?
Bell Nah. Chuck him.
I think the works have looked really good. He looks really comfortable at Belmont, but I think that running style, I think it'll catch up with him because I think a Tapatrice or a Forte will give him too much pressure from the back. Il Miracolo is the 5, Bell Yeah or Bell Nah?
Nah.
I think he's a Bell Nah for both winning losing.
He got,
by the way,
I
think National Treasure can get out front and hold on for like second or third. I think that's actually a case where, like, We the People last year in this race, I think could.
Yeah, but don't get carried away with those works. Baffert always works his horses fast.
Forte is in the 6 hole. He is the favorite at 5-2. Irad Ortiz back aboard after a layoff since April 1st. Dan, we are now going 2 full months later. Todd Pletcher wins at those races at 23%, so it's not like he can't do it. What say you about Forte this weekend?
Chuck him.
I agree with you. I think this is just too tough of a spot.
Chuck him. I mean, I don't know if this horse had had a regular schedule. I don't know that he'd want to go a mile and a half. And here's the thing. I mean, he's been off since April 1st, and I know Pletcher does a great job with this, but
yes, he does.
In these situations, and he's got IRAD. But here we just talked about the other horse and how his buyer's numbers were improving. Here's Forte's last 3 buyer numbers. 100 in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile as a 2-year-old, 98 in the Fountain of Youth, and 95 in the Florida Derby. And I thought this horse was life and death to get up in the Florida Derby. So he's a chuck for me.
He's a Bell Nah for me as well, just because of having to come back off the layoff and run the longest late race of his life. I just don't trust him to do it. Hit Show is the 7. We've seen him run in New York before. Quickly, Bell Yeah or Bell Nah?
Bell Nah.
I'm a Bell Yeah here. I think Hit Show is definitely tapping again on the mom side. Candy Ride, we've seen his kids do all kinds of different things. I think the work he had to do in the wood was just too much. I think from the 7, he can get a better trip, and I think that Brad Cox and Manny Franco, who hit at 23% overall, have a chance for sure here. Angel of Empire, I know, is a Bell Yeah for you.
That's not only a Bell Yeah, that's the winner.
Okay, there you go. So Dan's on the 8. I am on the 2 as the winner of the Belmont Stakes tomorrow in Tapatrice. Red Route won the 9. We interviewed Steve Asmussen at the Preakness, and he said, yeah, we're good. It's good to be here, but we're just not going to have enough time to run at the leaders, and he was right. Will they get enough time to hit the board here, Dan?
You know, this looks like a really nice horse, but when he faces this kind of competition, he doesn't get much done. I mean, in the Arkansas Derby, he was 5.5 lengths behind Angel of Empire. In the Preakness, as you said, he's 4.75 behind National Treasure, and I don't think National Treasure hits the board, so he's a Nah for me.
He is a Bell Nah for me as well. All right, so there you go. Dan landed on Angel of Empire for this one. I landed on Tapatrice for this one purely because the first name of that horse is Tappet. All right, so good luck tomorrow with all of those wagers. What do you think you'll end up playing tomorrow, Dan?
What you mean, what races?
What sequence, yeah.
Yeah, no, I love the pick 5. I'll play the late pick 5. Yeah.
And how much do you think your ticket will cost tomorrow?
Well, I'm going to do a better job. I'm going to buy because I think this card has a chance to be really chalky, and so I will spread with one of my tickets, and I'm going to play some small pick 5 tickets so that if it pays $80, I'll have it more than once.
Okay. A reminder too. Thank you to the folks at Barano's for bringing lunch by the ESPN Louisville studios. It's 45 years of Louisville-style pizza. George and Barano's team by the bridge, of course, hanging out with us today. All the events before and after, concerts, whatever it might be, at the KFC Yum Center. Go see them. Very cool location downtown. Carry out, dine-in, or delivery for all 14 of their area locations in Metro Louisville and Southern Indiana. Yeah, it's that good. Barano's Pizza, again, thank you for bringing lunch by the studios today.
Yeah,
we got a baseball game tonight, Dan.
No, we have baseball practice, but I'm going out to eat and watch the Nuggets game. on television at the restaurant. So, well, we've come to the end of another broadcast day, another broadcast week, as a matter of fact. We'll be back again on Monday morning. We want to thank Avery Dill for pushing all the right buttons and working through some technical difficulties this morning. Thank you, Avery. This has been Issel and Louie, ESPN 680 105.7. We'll be back again Monday morning at 10 o'clock. We hope you are too. Go Nuggets!
Metro College is a program that helps students pay for tuition, and I didn't believe it. You have to work third shift 5 days a week. It's a great and rewarding thing when you graduate. I would do it all over again, just like I just did.
You know those buddies who magically become medical professionals when you're not at the top of your game? The ones who say,
"Come on, muscle through it."
But then also say,
"Hey, you should probably see my specialist."
Or surgery or pain meds. It's almost always false, false, and false. Athletico's physical therapists, the same therapists who work with professional athletes, can tackle those little aches and pains from the start, before they become big ones. So next time, don't believe everything you hear. Instead, start with Athletico. Schedule your free assessment at athletico.com.